Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go.
Here we go.
This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday episode. It's slightly late. Friday evening. We've had other things to do that we couldn't get to do this episode. Perhaps it's for the best that we needed time to reflect and digest what happened last night in the general election. Is there anything else we need to talk about
at the beginning of this episode? We could talk about football later. If we want to reflect on last night's election results, we can do that first. I would like to talk about football because, you know, ultimately it's only football, music, Shelley, Alvida's own pet, the coins.
Being on a roof.
Digging. These are the things that ultimately will get you through. And, you know, these are the things that life are actually about. You got to remember, politics is just one thing that happens. It's one thing.
It's transient, isn't it? And they can't vote out football, and they can't vote out being on a roof.
And they can't vote out digging, not leisure digging.
Or ghosts.
No, is that? So I'd like to see them try. There was, I think it was Heath in the early 70s. Mm. His government tried to legislate against ghosts, but You'll never pass that through a British Parliament, never.
It was after he'd gone up against the unions, and the unions had defeated him because there was the miner strike of the mid-70s, and then he turned his attentions to ghosts just to save face.
But of course, the ghosts...
It was an idiotic move.
The ghosts had unionised by that stage as well, and they had a real firebrand northern ghost, right? I think he was from Sheffield.
Yeah, the leader.
And he was... His name was Fred Arkwright. And he was like, my members have all voted resoundingly and they will come out across the country, not just ghosts, but there will be solidarity from our comrades in the union of zombies, werewolves, and even vampires, all of whom will come out in a general strike of the supernatural and spooky.
We haven't got the witches. They're in a separate union, but we're still holding talks, and we're hopeful that they'll join in at some point.
Witches are scabs. No, I shouldn't have said that. That's unfair. We're still in talks with them, and we've high
hopes. Talks are still ongoing.
They're ongoing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Talks are still ongoing.
There will be,
no, they're not scabs.
We are hoping for constructive talks with Mr. Heath at Downing Street, beer and sandwiches with myself and other key delegates from the Ghost and Ghoulies Union.
But if we do not reach an agreement, I tell you this, we will all be out on the streets and our haunting will be terrifying. We will be turning it right up. There'll be none of this benign ghosting that we normally do. We will be coming to you in the night and assaulting your faces.
You will be shitting yourselves. The whole country will be shitting it for as long as this goes on. And I can tell you, I'm the last person to want this to happen. But it will happen.
It has come to this.
Yeah, so, all I'm saying is, right, the things that really matter, whether that be, you know, ghosts or holes or coins or music or any of the other things that give you day-to-day pleasure, they carry on. Politics is one element of our society, and it's not actually as important or as relevant as some people would have you believe. It's surrounded by a lot of media, largely because the sort of people in the news media are fucking nerds who follow politics the way that, you know, normal people like us follow football. They're obsessed with it. They're obsessed with the individuals in it. They're obsessed with who's in and who's out. Do you know what I mean? It's show business. They always say it's show business for ugly people. And
that's what it is. Robert Peston, who I've fucking had a few problems with this week, Robert Peston is basically doing what he does for a living because he was unable to get any kind of showbiz job.
Yeah.
And he sees what he does as being his equivalent to showbiz, because he's not good enough to fucking be Jarvis Cocker or whoever he wants to be.
They love being friends. They love you. You know, I've been in the TV and radio studios, and they come in and they fawn over these fucking pompous politicians. And listen, right? You know, politics, when things that are happening in the world, the changes that are happening that will affect our lives, the ideas that evolve into one day becoming reality. That's going on all over the world, and they've been going on years and years and years by the time they reach the politicians. If you look at Extinction Rebellion, right?
Rebellion, yeah.
That's been going on for years. That's been a build-up, a global network of people building up this campaign and their strategies and their thoughts. And slowly but surely, they have crept it onto the world stage, the world agenda, and made it a big subject of debate, not just for politicians, but for the other institutions that influence our lives, so you know, just as much, such as big business. And so there's a tendency to wake up and think that's it. And some, to be honest, some of the response that I've seen on social media is nothing short of hysterical. And I don't mean funny. I mean insane. There's people going, well, that's it. I feel like killing myself. And you think, don't be a fucking dick. Well, you're pathetic then. That's it. We're all fucked and everyone's a cunt, right? And you're like, don't be ridiculous, right? You are supposed to stand for the progressive people, the loving people. Your neighbours, your friends and neighbours and people walking down the street, they're not cunts. Even the ones who voted Tory, a lot of them aren't cunts. These are just people with lives to lead who might be confused or flawed or vulnerable. You don't know why they've made their decisions. You don't know what they're going through.
They might be thick.
They might be thick. And if they are thick,
you know.
But if they are thick, right, why are they thick? You should be compassionate towards thick people. Do you know what I mean? If you are as liberal and as left-wing as you say, then you should be compassionate towards thick people and understand that they make decisions that might not be aligned with your own. Life goes on, the world keeps turning, and people still have goodness, and they can't stop us digging. That's all I'm saying.
I've seen some responses today on social media which suggest that there are certain people who, if food banks become even bigger, and, you know, we're all of us just one or two life incidents away from relying on a food bank, that there are certain people who might be standing on the door of food banks asking the recipients how they voted in the 2019 election.
It's disgusting.
And then they would probably turn them away because you asked for this. Yeah, you voted for this.
And they didn't. They cast one vote. And they cast their vote for all manner of reasons. They are not, I mean, you know, of course there's cunts out there. Of course there's cunts who vote Tory out of selfishness. But, you know, to characterise all of them in the same way, it's no different from the way in which you might accuse all Tories of being racist, which a lot of people do. They are, they're all fucking racist, aren't they? That's why they did it, they're all fucking racist. Listen, it's best to see the good in people and understand that sometimes they make decisions that you think aren't necessarily for the best of them. But, that you know, we live in a democracy. Thank God we live in a free country and everyone's free to make their own decisions and make their own mistakes, you know. And if we respond with hate, you know, it's like Obama said, they go low, we go high. You know, there is no point running around with vitriol and hatred towards people who voted differently to you, I don't think. It's madness.
But having said that, I would suggest that quite a lot of them are thick and quite a lot of them are racists as well.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. But certainly not. Certainly not all of them.
97% again.
There's millions of people who voted, you know, and there'll be people who voted Labour who are thick and racist, you know. You get them on all sides. But all I'm saying is, right, politics is not as big of a deal as everyone thinks. It's a big deal, but it's no way the be-all and end-all. It's not the defining factor of the way we live, and it is not the defining element of the society we live in. It's not. You're surrounded by good people. You know, you're surrounded by people doing amazing things with good hearts. And, you know, and if you allow an election result in which, let's remember, you know, not even the majority of the people in the country voted anyway. if you think that, that's going to turn you sort of against your own society, your own community, and convince you that you're surrounded by cunts and it's pointless and the country's shit and we're all going to hell, that's the bigger shame than the election result, in that it sours the minds of all of those people for whom the result didn't go the right way. In all honesty, there wasn't many ways the result could have gone that would have made a lot of us punch the air with excitement anyway. I was
praying for a hung parliament personally.
But I suppose, you know, then you might have had someone like Jeremy Corbyn or Joe Swinson in 10 Downing Street, which wouldn't have been ideal. But I suppose it would have at least made you think, well, God, thank God people realise how awful these Conservatives are. But, you know, it might not have necessarily delivered you into a better scenario. It just would have seemed like some sort of justice against people like Boris Johnson and those that surround him.
It's dead weird how the reaction to it seems to have been, it's they've almost like echoed 2010 or 97, where one government has been overturned, one party has been overturned, and a new one has swept into power. And that's how it feels, because they've broken this deadlock that we've had for so long. They're making it sound as if this is like some kind of rebirth and a new dawn. And it's not. We've had 9 years of these cunts. And we've got another 5 now.
I would tell you this much, though. I mean, listen, I think it's an awful result for the country. But listen, in 2010, they didn't get a majority. So they were hamstrung on various different ways. You know, they were in a coalition. And then after that, they won a majority, not as big as this. But they were immediately derailed by Brexit because of the commitment that Cameron had made. And then that very quickly descended into 2017 when they lost their majority. So the truth is, what they would say is that actually there hasn't been a proper working majority functional government in this country since Gordon Brown was in charge, right, in the last decade, over a decade ago, right? And and so this is the first functioning government with a majority, who would also argue that the economy for the next few months at least is going to be very buoyant, right? And they've pledged against austerity, and they will spend to try and soften the blow of Brexit. And Brexit's not going to really happen for another few years, because even once they've signed the deal, the deal, that doesn't mean Brexit's happened. It just means they've begun the negotiations, which will go on for the next few years, you know. And in the meantime, the economy's quite likely to pick up. So, you know, I'm not trying to say, oh, don't worry, guys, it'll all be all right. I'm sure it won't. It never is when there's Tories in charge. But it is like a revolution, because no government has been able to quite do exactly what they wanted to do for 10 years.
I said that since 2010, the result has been none of the above.
Yes, exactly. But,
and like you said, this is the first time when someone's got a decisive majority.
And you've got a government who can actually go about their business and go, right, here's what we want to do, now we're going to go and do it.
Evil business.
Yeah, and they've got evil business to be doing. But
and they'll fucking do
but
it.
But it's not, it doesn't sound like austerity. Like when Cameron and Osborne and Nick Clegg came in, they said, thanks, motherfuckers. Now watch this. We're going to fucking starve you all for a decade.
We've sorted out this Thatcher tribute group, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're going to love it. Watch this. Start starving now.
Yeah. But it's not going to be like that. But I don't know what it's going to be like. But just, you know, listen, don't fear love. That's all you can say.
And don't fear, yeah. I knew you were getting
speaking
that.
Speaking of which, you know, I did release the T-shirts that said don't fear love. And I did it on purpose because I knew what was coming. In my mind, it was never in doubt that the Conservatives were destined to win a healthy majority, right? And it was obvious from the campaign. You know, it was a really well-run... That's how you win elections. That's what they just did. They just showed you how to win an election. It was brilliant, right? And so they were always going to win, and I knew that would be sad for those of us who all feel, you know, a little bit more progressive than those cunts. So I thought, well, I'll get the T-shirts now because it'll soften the blow for everyone. Don't fear love. They're available now.
That's how...
And if you don't already subscribe to the Iron Fire Society, the beautiful thing is, if you do, you'll be investing in a more positive and hopeful future for this country, because that's what we bring to Britain. And also, you will get, as a reward for subscribing any time before New Year, an automatic 25% discount off all the merchandise in our shop, including the Don't Fear Love t-shirts, which I feel are going to play a very big part in rebuilding the fabric of our communities.
Is that Iron Filing Society members, is it?
That's for Iron Filing Society. So you join the Iron Filing Society, and then you and me, anyone can buy a Don't Fear Love t-shirt right now for normal price, which is £18. Yeah. But if you join the IFS, which is our Patreon subscriber only service, in for which you get
a couple
of extra episodes a week and all sorts of other things, but you will also get a quarter of that price knocked off straight away to say thanks, welcome to the party, and well done for making a contribution to a better Britain.
We're a bit like Aaron Bastani and Ash Sarkar's Novara Media, but we try and chuck some laughs in as well. Because they flog t-shirts, don't they?
I don't know if they charge Novara Media, do they? You don't have to.
Oh, they've got a begging bowl, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they've got something going on. Yeah, there's definitely a grift. But hang on, do the IFS members, they also get 40% off the IFS?
IFS only range,
well,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. If you want to buy IFS only, which is t-shirts and posters, and probably more stuff coming out soon. In fact, I should put all of it on mugs.
Posters?
You can get IFS posters. No, of our logo, the IFS logo.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They've proved quite popular. But what's weird is the most popular merchandise over the last few months has been local Hardman t-shirts.
Has it?
Yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah. Saw a lot of people at the gigs wearing local Hardman t-shirts.
A lot of them being bought for Christmas, is there?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, look, right, there you go. Just know that if Corbyn had got in last night, little enterprises like ours, they'd be shut down. Do you know what he'd do?
Overnight,
he'd be over in Latvia, shutting down our factory, claiming all of the produce, and getting all of the money, all the profits, because he'd say that, you know, this grift is not the sort of thing that he wants happening under his regime. So, let's think ourselves lucky, you know. Because Boris is all behind the Latvian operation.
And I mean, I think it's not unreasonable to say that Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, Len McCluskey and Seamus Milne all need to withdraw from public life as of now.
Go and join Peter Purvis in the withdrawn from public life home.
Yeah. Please, don't fucking sustain it any longer. Corbyn said he's going to hang around until a new leader's chosen, which I'm sure he'll have a very strong influence on who it is.
Yeah.
He's not just fucking off now.
What you got to understand is that because Momentum took over the party due to Ed Miliband foolishly letting everyone join for a couple of quid, right?
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
It doesn't matter. They will have their own person. Corbyn was their puppet for the last few years. Now they'll just appoint another one. Don't think that anything's going to change. Don't think they're going to suddenly go back and appoint a moderate who'll be able to reach out to middle Britain.
More lessons have been learned.
Forget about that, right? They control the party and they elect the leader, and they will elect someone who basically comes from the same perspective as Jeremy Corbyn. That's what will happen.
It's so funny that you almost want to cry, but there we are.
Just find a new party to vote for.
Yeah. Should we set one up? Well, I mean, I set one up last night on Twitter, me and you.
Centrist Dad
Party.
Yeah, lots of people would vote for us. But it's a pain in the arse.
We've got about 40 retweets, I think.
Listen, we're doing 5 podcasts a week, right?
And or as they're now known, party election broadcasts.
Yeah, and we got loads of other shit to do. All of our admin. And I don't know whether we've got time to also run for office, but we'll give it a go.
Yeah, we'll do our best. I had my winter flu jab earlier today.
How's that?
That's why I'm late getting in. It was all right, didn't really feel it. It's a bit sore now. I might pass out.
But you might get the flu symptoms later in the day.
I might do. I might pass out. I might shit myself. I don't know what the side effects are. So that could happen during this podcast live. So just be warned.
I woke up in the night to have a shit the other night, which is something that I can't ever remember doing in my life.
It's quite unusual, isn't it? Yeah.
Really unusual. I woke up.
I'll only do that if there's a problem, a stomach issue.
Yeah, but I didn't have anything like that. I just woke up and thought, oh my God, I need a shit.
I'll have a shit.
It was horrible. I was all bleary-eyed and sleepy. I didn't want to be doing it, but I had to. And
exactly. There's nothing worse, is there?
I know. You just
3 a.m. shit.
And you're like, oh, why? This is so inconvenient.
I want to be asleep.
And you're trying to not fully wake up, but you kind of have to. Anyway, the mistake I made was confessing to my wife.
Well, should you not have confessed?
No.
Is this something that you transgressed some kind of...
No, she wasn't angry. She's just been making fun of me about it the whole time.
Night shitter.
Yeah, exactly. Basically that. you rotten old night shitter. How was your sleep?
All over again, isn't it?
Yeah. how did you sleep? No shitting, I hope. Fucking hell.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Exactly.
That's not what marriage is about. You're supposed to be able to just talk about everything and, like, with no fear of judgment. Well, I've been fucking judged all right, mate.
Well,
I think she's told, kind of, I think she's told the kids.
I can't blame her.
She's told the kids.
Well, I can't blame her.
They're all looking at me funny.
Marriage can be adversarial at times.
It can, you're right.
And you show a little bit of weakness like that by going for shit at 3 a.m. You know, you've dug your own grave, really.
You're right, it was a display of weakness. That's all it was.
You should have held it in.
All it was. I should have shown some strength. You know what? I should have fucking grown a pair and been a man about it and just lie there in bed until daybreak. I mean, because
just sucked it in.
Once it got to 6 o'clock, then it's fine. Hold it until then. What's 3 hours? Just hold it in for 3 hours, right?
Like 6 o'clock in the morning,
like a civilised, but like a gentleman would do. Do you know what I mean? Wait until you start to hear the birds singing outside, then go for your life, mate. But before then, you're a fucking animal. You're a heathen. Right?
Crawling across the floor to the bog.
Yeah. You're like a caveman. Oh, no. Oh, no, not shit. Disgusting. I was ashamed and I was disgusted with myself.
Quite right.
I already had low self-esteem before this incident, and now it's hit rock bottom. It's all I need in the week of the election.
Well, that's why we're here, to talk about these things and help you. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, but it was because I'd fallen asleep with the telly in my bedroom on, and Sajid Javid was being interviewed, and it woke me up.
Yeah.
So that was a little
Javid!
Bit like having a shit.
Did you wake up and shout, Javid?
Javid! He's in my room! Is this what happens now?
Sajid Javid's become a ghost.
Is this what happens under a Tory majority? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it on night one.
I'm here for your
all the results aren't even in yet.
I'm here for your bedroom tax. What? I've been counting your bedrooms. There's too many. I'm going to want money. If not, you got to fuck off out. And we're going to turn it into lottery flats and sell it to Russians. And they'll be unoccupied. You had a terrible nightmare where Sunderland was being gentrified by some property developers.
That's what it was, yeah.
And you were being run out of town by Sajid Javid.
Oh, man.
If you've got political dreams like that, don't get in touch with them. Don't care.
What was the thing we thought about what we were going to suggest? I remember what it was from a conversation we had the other day, a new topic. Times when you've almost accidentally killed someone.
Ah, classic.
That feels like a good one. That feels like the kind you wouldn't get on the Jeremy Vine show, which will be quite fertile ground for us.
Yeah.
Today we're asking, have you ever nearly killed someone? If you have, we want to know all about it.
Would you like to tell us the story about the time you almost killed someone, which triggered this the other day?
What was it? When did I nearly kill someone?
The golf driving incident.
So in 2002, I remember it was 2002 because it was in the build-up to the World Cup in Japan.
That's how you measure time.
My oldest brother said, let's go for golf lessons at Regent's Park, because he lived near there at the time. And I said, I don't want, you know my feelings on golf. I was like, I don't want to fucking do that. Golf's for cunts, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, come on, it'll be a laugh. They do it cheap. And it's like, you know, whatever. You buy a set of them, like 8 lessons. He goes, just a driving range. Something to do in the summer. So I said, all right. So I went down there and there was driving ranges, which you'll be familiar with. And I had an Australian teacher and I was just awful. I mean, I was like spectacularly bad. I could see that. And so was my brother. And I could see the look on the bloke's face after one lesson, just thinking, this is a fucking hopeless case. I'll never be able to do anything with this cunt. But he did say, yeah, come down on other days when you're not having lessons and just get a bucket of balls and just whack them, because this game is just about repetition, repetition. So I said, all right.
Of course it is.
One day I had some time to kill. I thought, fuck it, I'll go down there. So I get a bucket of balls. And there's a geezer next to me, American businessman, you know, sort of bloke you can imagine is called Chuck. Nice hair, white teeth, chinos, neatly pressed polo shirt, all the rest of it, right? And anyway, I think I've exchanged a bit of small talk with him, you know, all right, cunt, that sort of thing. American, are you? Yeah, thought so.
Yeah, what are you doing over here then? What are you doing on my manor?
Yeah. Flash cunt, are ya? Let's have a butcher's at your watch. I bet it's a nice one. How much it cost? Right.
Wow, it's one of them ones that's got loads of little watches inside it.
I bet you can swim right up. Do you go scuba diving in that, like in James Bond? I've never been in the sea, not once in my life. I went to Margate once, but nah, I wouldn't even paddle. You don't know what's in there, do ya? Sharks, the lot, octopus. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, be lucky.
Buddy, do you mind if I get on with my golf now? Nah, sorry, I've confused you there, haven't I? Go on, you get on with it, son. Right. Anyway.
I'll stand there and watch. Pick up a few tips.
You don't mind if I watch it, do you? I might have a can while I'm watching. Do you want one? I brought some with me in this carrier bag. Do you like Fosters? They're a bit warm. But it's all right.
They're not very strong. They're good for daytime drinking, I find.
No, buddy, I don't intend to drink before midday. Oh, all right, suit yourself, snobby cunt.
Go on, then hit one.
Do you want to look at one of my dirty mags? I just picked him up at the corner shop when I was getting these warm beers.
I got this one about. I got this one. It's full of widows. Have a look. It's really good.
Do you like widows? What? Widows? I don't know if there's an American word for it, but here we call them widows. They're Doris's what? Geezers have died. And it's real shame.
Yeah, what do you call? they're all sad, but they got their knockers out. It's weird, but I like it.
What do you call them in America? Death ladies?
Bereaved? Something like that?
The ladies of death. Ladies of bereavement, is it something like that? Like the way you call rubbish garbage? Buddy, could you stop talking? I'm trying to practice my swing here. Yeah, sorry, mate.
Come and hit some balls.
Anyway, what happened was I started hitting the balls and it was useless. I'm missing them. I'm slicing them. Anyway, I hit one and I really connect with it, but I totally slice it. And somehow, through a miracle of chance and physics, it hits a sort of a metal ridge along the bottom of my section of the drive and spins upwards at a huge velocity over the dividing wall and directly into the eye socket of the American businessman, who lets out a cry that they probably heard 3 postcodes away, right? And falls to his knees, clutching his face. And I've gone, oh, no! Right, I've smashed it in his eye, but how I did it, I don't know. The ball effectively took off at a 90-degree angle from me. What did you say? 90? Yeah, 90-degree. It made no sense. And he's on his head. He's going, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. He was screaming and shouting so much. It was like, fucking hell. I think it might have gone right inside his head and penetrated his brain or something.
Fucking
so
hell.
I run into the sort of, whatever you call it, the clubhouse where all the coaches are sitting around. And I go, someone coming out, someone coming out. There's been an accident. And they go, what's happened? And I said, I've knocked a ball in someone's eye. And they all turn round to my Aussie coach.
It's not the American businessman, is it?
And they turn around to the bloke and they go, oh, he's one of yours, isn't he? And he goes, oh, come on, mate, let's see what's happened. So we go out and the bloke is like just screaming. You can't see the damage because he's got his hand over his eyes, claps his face. Oh, my God. So the bloke goes, it's okay, mate. We called you an ambulance. And he goes, I can't go to hospital. I got a plane to catch. Right? Turns out the poor cunt, he was staying at a hotel opposite, right? And he had literally a couple of hours to kill before his taxi was turning up, take him to the airport, take him home to his wife and family, right? And he thought, I've got a bit of time to kill. Hey, I might just head on over, mosey on over to that golf range across the road and hit a few balls while I'm waiting for the taxi to arrive.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? What's the worst that could happen? Then fucking I've turned up, haven't I? And I've cracked him. Oi, hey! First, he had the psst of a can of Foster's opening at 11 a.m. and some geezer walking along with a bucket full of balls and some wank mags in a carrier bag. Oi, oi, sunshine! Yeah, me and you could be mates, couldn't we? Where are you from? America? Yeah? You got a gun? Bet you have, haven't you?
Come on, let's have a look.
Yeah.
I can shoot guns.
Can you get...
Look, up there, down the bottom end of the driving range there, I see a raven. Can you shoot that raven?
Yeah, mate, right? Is it true that in America, they've already released, like, Star Wars 7, 8 and 9, but we don't get it in Britain for another 10 years? Is that true? I heard that was true. Have you seen it? How many Star Wars have you seen? Hey, mate.
So you nearly killed him.
Hey, mate, you know in Dallas, right? You know in Dallas, right? What's the name of that car that JR drives? It's fucking Mustard, innit? You got one of them. You know, with the cow horns on the front. Does everyone have a car with cow horns on the front? Do they, mate? Mate, you seen Gremlins? Fucking brilliant film, innit?
Can I come over and stay with you? Just write your address there, look.
They have all different chocolate bars over there, don't they? They don't have, like, Twix and Snickers and that. They got all other ones, ain't they, that we ain't heard of. I could come over and have a load of them with you, couldn't I?
Tell you what, write your address down on this widow's pool mag and I'll come over in the summer.
Oh, can we go Disneyland? How far's Disneyland from your gaff, mate? What is it, a drive or what? What, we drive it in your JR?
I'll tell you what, I'll come over when the space shuttle's due to launch. We'll go and watch it together.
We'll have a cracking day out, right? First thing in the morning.
I'll bring the cans.
First, we'll go up the corner shop and get a load of them chocolate bars I was telling you about, right? We'll scoff all of them in the car on the way to Disneyland. We'll go on the rides, and then afterwards, we'll go and see the spaceship take off up to the moon, right? And then, what I want to do in the evening is go up Graceland, you know, where Elvis used to live, and we'll just hang around near the gate, see what we can see.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, man. So he nearly died, yeah?
Well, I said, is there anything I can do? Oh, I don't know what to do. What shall I do? And they just went, I think you should go, mate. I think...
Before his lawyer turns up.
I think it's time you left. And I was like, oh, all right. And I just thought, fucking good. I'm glad. I just went, all right, mate, see you later. I still got a few more lessons. He goes, yeah, I wouldn't... Let's talk about that. I think their time might be up. And I just never, I never went back ever again. That was the beginning and the end of me in golf. And apparently, I did
it's not
it
for everyone.
When I called up the club, and they kind of made it clear they didn't want me coming back. I did hear that the poor bastard had to stay in hospital. He missed his flight, obviously, and he had to stay in the UK for another few days in hospital, having all sorts of things done to his poor eye. So,
oh well.
So I nearly killed a man, and so that got us thinking. Times you've nearly killed someone. So get in touch.
Send in your stories.
Top5timemachine@gmail.com. Send us your stories. Have you nearly killed someone? If you have actually killed someone, don't want to know.
No, we don't want to know
and
that.
And also,
no.
if this isn't about times you've tried to kill someone but failed. because
got to be accidental, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be an accidentally. I accidentally nearly killed someone. That's what we'll call
it. The parameters are very narrow on this one.
Yeah,
so
we don't want this going like Sex Fails went wrong. Sex Fails to begin with was great, and it went wrong. It went downhill quick, didn't it?
It became I am a sex offender, and here's how. Yeah, so we don't want that again. Right, let's predict some football matches for the weekend before we go.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Southampton versus West Ham.
2-1 West Ham.
Fucking hell. Okay. I'll go... Oh, I'm going to go 1-1.
Mm.
And that's being generous to West Ham, yeah. I think. Sunderland versus Blackpool.
2-1 to Sunderland.
2-1. I'm going to go 1-1 again for that one. I should have gone first there, really.
Yeah, sorry, you do the next two.
All right, Derby versus Millwall, which of course is results bots team. I think that Derby will win that 1-0.
I'll say Derby 3-0.
A lot of hatred there for the Millwall. Arsenal versus Manchester City.
Arsenal, Man City.
It's me again,
City,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Arsenal, Man City. I think 3-0 Man City.
Yeah, I'll say 3-0 Man City as well. Sorry, mirror me there.
It's all right. Liverpool versus Watford. You want to do that one?
Liverpool-Watford, 4-0 to Liverpool.
4-0 to Liverpool. I'm going to go 4-1 to Liverpool. Mm. And finally, Sheffield United versus Aston Villa. That's me first. I'll go for 2-1 Sheffield United.
Well, I hate Sheffield United, but I think they are going to win this, so I'll say 2-0.
Oh, of course you hit them, don't you? Mm. Yeah, I forgot about that. There, that's the results. The predictions are that they are now... locked in. That's it from this episode. It's been a week where on Monday a man stole a mobile phone from a TV reporter because he didn't want to look at the photograph that was on the mobile phone. On Wednesday the same man hid in a fridge because he didn't want to answer any questions. And on Friday that man now has the largest Tory majority since 1987.
But listen, gang, they can't stop you gigging. They can't stop you digging. Right, and they can't stop us coining, and they can't stop you listening to Top Flight Time Machine. So fuck them all. We're the 3%. Fight on.
Yeah, we'll be back. Fucking just rest.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.